Hi, I'm Femi Oke. Today on The Stream, we focus on security in Uganda a week after a deadly attack in Kampala. Here's Al Jazeera's Catherine Soy.
Police and soldiers in Kampala prepare to go out on night patrols. There's a curfew in place because of COVID-19, but the patrols are now more frequent and thorough following attacks by three men who detonated explosive devices, killing themselves and other people near a police station and parliament last Tuesday.
We are going to take a look at the armed groups who were responsible for those attacks, and then also, what can Uganda do to prevent more attacks from happening? On YouTube, you can be in the comment section right here. Your comments, your questions, I will put to the guests. Let's meet your guests. Hello, Andrew. Hello, General Muezi.
Hi, Femi.
And hello, Dino.
Gentlemen, hello, Femi.
Hello, everybody. It's so good to have you here. I'm going to get each one of you to introduce yourself to our stream audience so they know who you are and what you do. Starting with Andrew, with a welcome back to the stream. Andrew, remind our audience who you are, what you do.
Yes, I am called Andrew Mwenda. I'm a journalist in Kampala, Uganda.
Good to have you. Jenny Muezi, please introduce yourself to the stream audience.
Yes, I'm Major General Jim Muezi. I'm the Minister of Security in Uganda government.
Good to have you. And hello, Dino. Welcome to the conversation. Okay. Please tell everybody who you are, what you do.
I'm Dino Matani, based in Nairobi, and I'm the Deputy Director of the Africa Programme for the research organisation International Crisis Group.
Thanks, Dino. Thank you, General. Thank you, Andrew. All right, so let's start. General, who planned the attacks last week in Kampala? What do you know?
Well, on the 16th of November, there were two terrorist attacks in the city of Kampala, and another one which never took place, the third one, and two terrorists blew themselves up, killing three people on the spot, and the fourth one dying in hospital where he had been rushed for treatment. The third one in the suburbs of Kampala was arrested after being shot. Unfortunately, he died later, though he had given us information.
So that's the what. That's not the who, though, General, is it? Do you know who
yes,
they
were,
they are?
These were ADF, Allied Democratic Forces, based in the DRC, Congo, where they come from, infiltrating to the country and carry out attacks from those bases.
Okay.
They are connected with the ISIS since 2019.
Let me just bring in Andrew here. Andrew, often the motivation of armed groups on the general public is to create fear. Are you seeing that fear? Are you feeling that fear in Uganda right now?
Yes, indeed. Of course, since the last bombings on November 16th, there has been heightened security across the country. I have many friends who often are afraid to go into crowded areas, suspecting that there could be a terrorist attack there. Remember that that is the whole idea behind terrorism, that the aim of terrorism is always psychological. You must make people be afraid, and you must force governments to act out of the ordinary and perhaps become very repressive in order to attract support. That's a strategy of terrorism. And since it happened, the government, rather the public, is anxious about where the next attack is going to come from.
Dino, can you help us understand? We had two armed groups mentioned, the Allied Democratic Forces, we had ISIL mentioned. Can you explain to us where they fit into and around Uganda and why they seem to be operating there right now? This is for Dino. Dino, go ahead.
Well, the Allied Democratic Forces are a armed group that originally was born in Uganda. And then since the 90s and the 2000s, was repelled out of the country, moving into Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo, where it settled in the mountainous regions of the Rwenzori and then further towards the towns and cities of North Kivu province, particularly around the Beni area. And over the period of the mid-2000s onwards, the armed group really went dormant for quite some time and only really started resurging in 2013 in the Congo itself, where its activities were marked by horrific machete killings all over that section of North Kivu province. And since then, it has developed contacts and relationships with other armed groups in Eastern Congo. There's also been contacts with members of the Democratic Republic of Congo Security Services. So it's created a web of interests that are extremely difficult for the authorities in Congo and the UN Peacekeeping Mission there to get their arms around. And since 2019, the main faction, which is the overwhelmingly largest faction of the armed group under the leader Moussa Baluku, has associated itself with the Islamic State. And so we're entering a new chapter here, apparently, where foreign fighters from outside the DRC, from Uganda, but also from other parts of East Africa, Tanzania, Kenya, Burundi, have moved into those ADF camps. And over the last few years, seem to be developing the technological skills to do this kind of attack, okay, and to also train from a distance those individuals in Uganda who may have been responsible for this. And the advantage of doing it that way is that, based in a armed group camp in Eastern Congo, far away from the authorities, where the authorities can actually control them, they're able to disseminate that technology via telecommunications, via phone apps such as Telegram and so forth, and then set up these kinds of attacks in places like Uganda.
All right, General Mwezi, I'm going to talk about some of these tactics of the armed groups currently focusing on Uganda. This is Grace Masiko, who is a security analyst, talking about the change in the way the attacks are being made. General, please have a listen to Grace and then react immediately off the back of his comment. Here he is. Okay.
What we had seen before was that they would pick bombs and place them at places like in restaurants or bars, or throw them at moving vehicles. But the actors will not stay. They will throw them and run away. But now, for the first time now, we're seeing a pattern of homegrown suicide bombers who are known by the local communities, who have got families within, carrying out these acts. And these are, in the age group, it's almost like running around there, the youth, it's a big concern that actually now, for the first time, Uganda has got a much bigger threat than ever before.
Well, it is true that they are Ugandans and they are young, but we know that these terrorists, ADF, has been recruiting young Ugandans, manipulating them. They actually take them unaware of what they are going to do. When they get in the Eastern Congo, they force them into terrorist activities. Those who resist or attempt to escape are killed in front of their other recruits until they conform, and then they are indoctrinated, they are radicalized, and they are sent into the country. They are taught how to use improvised explosive devices, which they use. And we believe those who die in the bomb blast are suicide bombers. However, there is a strong likelihood that some of them may be sent to carry items they don't know, and they are detonated by remote control and killed. So I don't think there is a change within the society. It's the program of the ADF to recruit young people, to create some cells within the community, and they send the people to cut out these terrorist attacks, but they themselves are hiding in eastern Congo.
Which links back to what Dino was describing in terms of strategy. Gentlemen, I'm going to go to you two because there's some questions that are coming from our audience who are watching right now. Andrew, I want you to tackle this one and bounce off the back of it with your take and what you understand as a journalist being based in Uganda. Mitch Connor says, Uganda will beat the terrorists. What evidence is there of Uganda beating, as Mitch says, the terrorists, Andrew?
Well, remember that ADF is not a new threat to Uganda. It has been in active combat against the government of Uganda for the last 25 years. Now, the government of Uganda has incredible experience in combating counterinsurgencies and also combating terrorism of different shapes, including of that ADF. And the kind of experience the government of Uganda has accumulated over the years is this ability to penetrate terrorist cells and be able to understand where terrorists are being recruited, where they are planning attacks. Remember, this is not the first attack. I think when there was a burial of the Deputy Inspector General of Police who died in Uganda, there was a terrorist who was supposed to detonate a bomb at the burial. He was arrested before he could detonate the bomb. Even when you observe these videos carefully, you will notice that it is very likely the people who detonated these bombs, if they were the ones carrying them, they detonated them in a hurry, perhaps fearing that the security services were on their heels about to arrest them. Because each one of them detonated the bomb when they were in motion. One was walking, another one was driving. But it is also possible that the person controlling the detonator was a distance away from the person carrying the bomb, in which case that person also could have realized that the intelligence services were closing in on them and they needed to detonate immediately. So we have sufficient ground to believe that the intelligence services of Uganda, given their long experience in combating terrorism, have penetrated ADF cells in Kampala and elsewhere so effectively that it is difficult for the terrorists to exercise or to do their work with a lot of freedom, and that is why the casualty rate in the last bombing, the last two bombings was very low. Only three civilians actually died. The other four people who died were terrorists themselves. Mm. And it's rare to see a terrorist attack of the size and scale that happened in Uganda have only three casualties. And I think that could explain why the terrorists were acting in a hurry, aware that the state was on their heels.
Dino, let me put this to you, because there's some disbelief from our viewers watching that ISIL is operating or impacting armed groups who are coming into Uganda. Thoughts?
I mean, I would not say that this is just a Uganda-specific problem. This is a regional problem, and this is a new development. I mean, the region over the last decade has undergone a number of terrorist attacks that we're all aware of, particularly in Uganda, actually, in 2010, in Kenya in 2013, also 2015 and 2018. But all of those were associated with Al-Qaeda or the Al-Qaeda affiliate, Al-Shabaab, the Somali armed group, which has tentacles all across the region. Now what we're seeing is the arrival of an ISIS network. And there are a number of other conflicts in the region where ISIS has been sort of trying to associate itself with. There's the conflict in northern Mozambique. There's also an ISIS faction in the very north of Somalia. And then we start seeing the association with the ADF. Now, research that we've done shows that there's actually interlinkages between those three nodes, the Great Lakes nodes around DRC and Uganda, those in Somalia and Mozambique. For example, there have been cases of Mozambique fighters coming and getting training that we're aware of. And we've got this from eyewitnesses in the camps, both spoken to on the Ugandan side and also on the Mozambican side, right, where Mozambicans have trained there. We're also aware of communication between the ISIS faction in Puntland and those who may have been responsible for this bombing. So we're talking about a regional issue here. To the comment that was made about, you know, there was only a small amount of casualties. Yes, this is true, and thank goodness for that, that the casualty count was only four, one should say. It could have been much bigger. But what we're starting to see is networks that are able to start. I mean, prior to this attack, it should be noted that there was a string of bombing attempts or small bombs that were going off in Kampala for several weeks. There were three notable attacks, one behind a police station, one in a restaurant, one on a bus. They were all associated with the ADF in some form or another, according to official investigations. And it appears that this new ISIS network that is making itself more visible now is learning as it's doing, spreading the technology. And it's not just in Uganda itself. There was another bomb plot uncovered in next-door Rwanda. The Kenyan authorities are also on high alert at the moment for ISIS fighters or ISIS-affiliated fighters from Kenya who've been fighting in Congo with the ADF and also in Mozambique, coming back home and also spreading this.
So, Dino, here's what I'm hearing you're saying. There is a network. There's collaboration happening as far as armed groups are concerned. General Muezi, are you collaborating with your cohorts in these different countries as well? Do you have an intelligence network, or are you just doing it in a silo in Uganda?
Yes, there is sharing of intelligence, especially with the DRC, because that's where we have interest. That's where ADF and IS is based. So there is collaboration, there is discussion. And it is true that this problem is now regional and international, and there should be collaboration in sharing intelligence about this group.
By the way, Sammy, I should tell you, I am suspicious that the ADF started these terrorist attacks in Uganda because the government of Congo requested the government of Uganda to send troops into Congo to combat ADF. And I think it's not a coincidence that at the time when the government, the Uganda People's Defense Forces, or the Ugandan Army, is doing drills and exercises to enter Congo is when the ADF has also started attacking Uganda. I think that the strategy of ADF terrorist attacks inside Kampala is to draw the security and military attention of the government of Uganda away from Congo back to Uganda. And I thought, I'm suspicious that their strategy is to actually stop government of Uganda's or disrupt the government of Uganda's attempts to deploy inside Congo. That is why they have started attacks inside Uganda. But also remember that ISIS is standing on a radical extremist Islamic program. But it is not a program that can even succeed in Uganda, in large part because, one, Uganda is only 12% Muslim. So this is a largely a Christian-dominated country. But other than that, even the Muslim community in Uganda are not excluded from the political process to such a degree that they can support the kind of actions or methods that the ADF and ISIL want to employ in this struggle. So I think that the terrorist attacks are not the evidence of an organization that is up and kicking, but I think it's a desperate organization that realizes if Uganda and army enters Eastern DRC, it's likely to clobber them badly, and then they will have no place for retreat. Because internal to Uganda, yes, it has been very difficult for ADF to organize. The ADF has organized itself inside the DRC because there is an absentee state in the eastern region of the Congo.
I want to bring
in... Dino,
you go ahead, and I'll go second. Go ahead, Dino.
Yeah, I mean, the point there that he was making about, Uganda's possible intervention in DRC, it's worth also noting that amongst the suspects who were arrested in next-door Rwanda, in an alleged bomb plot there that the Rwandese authorities have connected to the ADF. One of those who's been arrested there has said that that cell was plotting to bomb public spaces because of Rwanda's intervention in Mozambique. So this is a classic playbook, you know, in a way it's a classic jihadist playbook where you provoke the authorities to come in and to either punish them for military action or to provoke them into undertaking more military action. And the jury is still out whether that kind of intervention, military intervention, either in the DRC or Mozambique has really worked or is going to eradicate this problem. There have got to be other types of solutions brought to the table. Okay. I mean, in Mozambique,
Andrew, can I ask you to do this very quickly? Because I want to ask the general one more thing. It's not often that we get the General Moezi on the stream, and I really want to ask him one more thing. Andrew, be quick. Go ahead.
The one thing you need to note about terrorism is an effective weapon of political struggle when the enemy the terrorist is attacking is either a colonial power or a foreign occupying force. Terrorism loses its appeal when it's fighting in a domestic conflict, because the society it is fighting, the government is able to effectively penetrate society and isolate the terrorists. That is why it has been very difficult for terrorism to succeed in outside of the context of either colonial rule or foreign occupation, the way the Americans were in Iraq or Afghanistan.
Okay, Andrew, let me make a more specific. We make a more specific point about what is happening in Uganda today. I want to bring in the police spokesman who was at a press conference just this week in Kampala, and he was answering criticism about how the authorities were looking for people who were involved in these attacks, not with enough care, and too many people were being killed as they were being looked for. This is how the police spokesperson responded.
We want to reiterate that the arrested persons are not targeted for their beliefs, ideology, religion, ethnicity, and any other attachment, because that would make us, the security agencies, appear biased. The public should know that we are only targeting those individuals and groups that have engaged or have conspired to engage or have facilitated the engagements of acts of violence, including terrorism and other violent crimes against Ugandans.
So, General Moezi, what is your strategy for making sure there are no more attacks in Uganda or fewer attacks in Uganda?
Yes, before I answer that question, I wanted to supplement on what Andrew Mwenda said, that the Muslims in Uganda do not support terrorism. And in fact, they have been victims of ADF. There was a spate of killings of sheikhs because they had rejected terrorism, supporting ADF. Now, the strategies we are using, of course, include mobilization of the population to deny them recruitment area, to talk to our people, to the young people, not to be manipulated into being taken into these activities.
All right.
General
Moezi, yes. We're right at the very end of the show. Thank you so much for being with us today. Andrew, Dino, thank you also for the comments and questions on YouTube. We really appreciate you. This is where we're going to wrap our look at security in Uganda and what outside armed groups may well be doing in Uganda. This story is not over yet, but it is for today's show. Thanks for watching. I'll see you next time.